So today we're looking at our next superhero in our superhero series, where we take a superhero and we talk about him a little bit, and then we take something that's about that superhero and kind of what does the Bible say about an aspect of whatever we observe. And today's superhero is Charles Xavier, Professor X from the X-Men. He is a very interesting character in the comics. He is an extremely powerful character in the comics. He has the power of telepathy, and then pretty much he can project psychic stuff into someone else's mind, controlling them, giving them or throwing out falsities and all of this stuff in someone else's mind. He's able to completely shut someone down. Astral projection. He's an insanely powerful. He's considered what they call an Omega level mutant, and he is to be feared in those comics. And so, the cool thing about Professor X is he growing up, he learned his powers as a young man. But even though he learned his powers and is good as he gets older. When he was a young man, he used those thoughts, or those his telepathic powers for evil, for selfish gain. He used them to ace tests in schools, to get degrees. He also used it to succeed in athletics, for basketball and football and track. He was able to read the mind of the other team to find out what their game plan was or whatever, and then he was able to use his minds to help himself in those. So he had trophies, and in the comics, he even had a trophy case of trophies that he felt that he really didn't earn, and which is really interesting. And through it, his stepbrother, who ultimately becomes Juggernaut. That's for a later story. His stepbrother resents him, doesn't like him, and so you have that feuding going on as they get older. And then ultimately, there are two different storylines on how Xavier loses the use of his legs. One is a villain named Lucifer, which is fitting for a Bible story. But the Lucifer actually is one of the guys in one of the storylines where he pulls a lever and a concrete slab falls on him and he loses the use of his legs. The other one is that Magneto actually, one of his old colleagues, ends up doing something that hurts his spine and ultimately he loses his legs. So you have two different stories there in which that happens. But something I want to focus on is this idea of his thought powers, his ability to manipulate thought and also telepathically talk to people and use it to. It's just so intriguing to me about the brain. The brain is an extremely powerful thing, as it is the central thing of our nervous system. It is the command center of the human nervous system. You also it's amazing to me that even when I stop and I'm silent, I can hear my thoughts. Like I can say words in my head without speaking. My brain keeps all of my organs functioning. And I even there are days where like I'm breathing, and then I all of a sudden think about that I'm breathing, but I never stop breathing because my brain has told my body to continue to breathe. And so the brain is such a unique organ that it is vital to our existence. Something else that I've realized, though, is the brain is vital to our spiritual life. And as we live our life as Christians, our brain is something that we have to control and what, and ultimately what goes in it. And so I think about what the Bible says concerning our thoughts. And as I do that, I want to talk about quickly, what are some thought-based sins? You know, we have those that are in the Bible that like something as though like lying is something that comes out of our mouth. Stealing is something that we have to do, but there are things that we don't have to physically do that can still be sinful. Things such as lusting, lust of anything that would be idolatry is considered a thought-based sin. Hate. Jesus ups the ante concerning adultery and murder in talking about hate and lusting in your mind. And so those are thought-based sins. We also see holding a grudge. A grudge is a thought-based sin. Envy, covetousness, like all of these things are in our minds. And so what do we do about that? Well, the Bible is clear on a lot of these things and what we should be thinking about as opposed to these sinful things that we can dive into. So let's look at this verse. First in Romans 12:2, and it says, and I'll start at verse 1. It says, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. And verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And what I find interesting in this is at the very beginning of this, in verse 1, we see that we are to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. So that includes our minds. And what I thought is really interesting too is that he talks about our thought life here. Transforming our thoughts. And if we look at the beginning of Romans all the way up to this point, he's laying out the gospel. This is what our minds should be transforming to. But if you need any more ideas on how we should be thinking, we can look at Philippians 4:8. And it says this in Philippians 4:8. It says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And what's even more impressive than just that is right before this, he talks about anxiousness. You see in verse or chapter 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And then he says, these are the things you ought to think about in verse 8. And so then we go on in Colossians, and Colossians 3, chapter 3, verse 2. It says, set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will appear with him in glory. And so he says, what our thoughts, what should we be thinking about? Our thought life should be directed on things that are above, not on this earth. And that's when we start to sin. Our thought life is so sneaky. And so God is imploring. He's saying, please just set your minds on things that are above. And then he gives a list on things not to think about. Put to death. So X these out. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly. In you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. And then he gives this warning, on account of these things, the wrath of God is coming. And so we take those things and we put them out, and then we put in our minds things that are above. And that is one of the reasons why we ought to be in the Word, because the Word is filled with things that God says are acceptable, that are commendable, all of these things that we had just read in Philippians. So my question to you is, how's your thought life? When it comes to your mind, I ask, what are you putting in it? What is your regular dosage of input? What does that look like? What TV shows are you watching? What friends are you running to for wisdom and guidance? And what people are you surrounding yourself with? Where is your wisdom coming from? Where is your where are you getting your thoughts? And so my question is then, at the end of the day, what are you running to? And I hope that you're running to God, because He's the one that changes our thought life. He's the one that changes us. So what goes in us will ultimately come out. And so, are you in the Word? Are you surrounding yourself with biblical wisdom? Are you surrounding yourself with people that are going to push you in the right direction? Or are you surrounding yourself with people that are filling your life with lies and worldly wisdom, earthly things? And so let's start setting our minds on things that are above, because our brain is extremely powerful, and it can be used for good and it can be used for bad in our lives. And if we are not transforming it to the will of God, we are transforming it to the will of the earth, to ourselves, to sin. And that's not good, because like it said in Colossians, the wrath of God is coming, and on those things it is coming. And so we want to be on the other side of the fence, and we got to allow Jesus Christ to change us, because He's the only one that can do it. And so surrender your life to Christ. Allow Him to change your thought life. Allow Him to change your actions, your beliefs, everything. And then move forward with a better thought life, giving glory to God in everything that you do.